He lived on Horn, she on Bright. He was the son of a professor at the school, she was a farmer's daughter. Her name, though he didn't know it yet, was Imogen, and they first met when... Oh, but hold on. We're shooting ahead much too fast. This is a long-ago tale from humanity's second century on glory. It's old and delicate and sad, and it needs kind, gentle handling. Let's slow down a little. Hey, you! It was a woman's voice. She was standing by the hedge, dressed in rough brown clothes, carrying a shepherd's crook and wearing a scarlet headscarf. What? You! Yes, you! The woman waved her crook at him in emphasis. Me? Are you stupid? She asked. Yes, very. Jack had always found this answer good at disarming the irritation of people who confused absent-mindedness with absence of mind. It didn't work this time. I thought so. That must be why you've left the gate open. I have? Where? Back there. The crook pointed over his shoulder, and Jack turned and looked behind him. There it was, the traitor gate, swinging in the gentle air. Oh, heavens, I'm terribly sorry. I'll close it straight away. See that you do, before all the animals escape. And Jack ran back the way he'd come and fastened the gate tight shut. Then he returned. There, I've done it. I must say, I'm most awfully sorry. Quite mortified. Not the right thing at all. Not like me. I'm sorry. I didn't quite catch your name. Jack approached the woman, intending to shake hands with her to make up. It was the way disagreements were settled at his school. That's because I haven't told it you. Of course. Silly me. But excuse me. Could we shake on it? I'm sure it won't happen again. It better hadn't. But all right. Thank you. I'm Jack Hallendorf, by the way. He held out his hand. Imogen Blake. They shook, and Jack noticed for the first time that despite her baggy homespun jerkin and trousers and the crook she carried, Imogen was actually a girl, no older than him. Her face was burnt nearly as brown as her clothes, and her eyes were blue and very direct. Do you live hereabouts? That's for me to know. I'm sorry, I should mind my own business. I'm too inquisitive for my own good. Well, good day to you, Miss Blake. Good day, sir, and don't leave any more gates open. I won't. And Jack turned and carried on downhill while Imogen went back to her flock. Jack reached his copse and enjoyed the novelty of standing completely enclosed by trees and the crunch of fallen leaves beneath his feet. He climbed as far as he could up an ash tree and imagined that he was benighted under a frosty Siberian sky while slavering velociraptors circled the tree's feet and waited for him to slip and fall into their jaws. And then that his name was Mowgli, and that he lived wild among the beasts of the Indian jungle. But as he lay in his bed that night and waited for sleep to come, the swift sleep that is the just reward of physical exercise, it was not stories of the lost earth that kept him awake, but the memory of two unwavering blue eyes under a red headscarf. Sleektail Min of the Caverns of Grant was an adolescent foy, only two-thirds grown, and her name was still a short one. Like others of her age, her size meant that she was well suited to the Coast Watch, and it was her task to listen out for the characteristic sounds of humans, especially humans who were invading the foy's domain. This morning, while patrolling a mile off the coast of Bright, which the foys called Rock Sand, she heard a set of steady, rhythmic drumming picked up on the land and transmitted through the water. No, not one set, but two, and now three. This was no accident, no normal consequence of the tidal movement of the oceans. These were not rocks bumping against each other, pushed to and fro by the waves. No, this was intelligent life in action. These were humans, doing what humans always did, pushing their luck, going where they were not allowed. Did the stupid creatures never learn from their mistakes? Had they forgotten there were heavy penalties for leaving the lands? Apparently they had. Well, this was her call to duty, and she would answer it, whatever the danger to herself. She turned towards the land and followed the sounds of human footsteps into the straits, keeping to the centre of the channel where the water was deepest, and tuning her ears carefully to guide her to the source of the sound. Sleektail Min was afraid, but she was determined to overcome her fear. She had names to gain, and she would do her best to earn them.